Hi everyone, it's Emily from 21 and Sensory, back with another podcast episode. Today I have a very special guest. I have Emily from @AutyEV on Instagram. So I kind of did like a little Instagram post asking for, you know, people if they wanted to be a guest on my podcast, and Emily very kindly filled out the form, and she's here today to chat. So, Emily, do you want to say hi?
Hi, everyone.
Nicely done. This is going to be a little bit confusing because we're both called Emily. So hopefully it'll be all right, but it might get a little bit confusing.
I think it'll be okay. We sound different. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all right. So do you want to do like a quick little introduction, sort of who you are, how old you are, what you're up to, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I'm Emily. I run the AutyEV page on Instagram, and I'm a fine arts student. I've just finished my first year at uni, and I'm currently a self-diagnosed autistic person.
Amazing. I didn't realise you were studying fine art. That's so cool.
I am.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes, I am. It's very different to what I thought it would be, like what my style is in terms of like a fine art style. It's very different, but it's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's good. And are you, I know like we're in a pandemic at the moment, but do you usually like kind of live at uni, or are you living at home?
Like, no, when you study? Yeah, I live at home. Easier and cheaper and so much less stressful.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I also studied at uni. I studied graphic design, but I also stayed at home. So
it's a good choice, I think.
Yeah, it is. You save so much money as well.
So much. And definitely all the stress of moving away and it being all horrible and new. It's like, no, the actual uni building itself is enough of that. We don't need anymore.
Exactly. Like, you don't need to, you know, totally relocate as well. Yeah. That is just, it's too much. So how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I'm 20.
You're 20.
Which feels very strange to say.
So did you do like A levels before you went to uni, or anything like that?
I did A levels, and then I did art foundation year. Like, so I finished my A-levels, did the art foundation, and then went to uni. So,
oh, amazing.
Yes.
I also did an art foundation. So
cool.
We're similar in that.
In name and...
Yeah. We sound like we're living, like, the same life. But anyway, I promise everyone we're different people. okay, so that's interesting. So you're kind of living locally, but, like, studying at the same time. That's nice. So you said you're self-diagnosed. Do you want to sort of go into that a bit and kind of say when you sort of, I don't know if you came to the realization you might be autistic, or like how did you come about that?
So I think it was over a year ago that I kind of realized that I was autistic. And it was like, at first it was really like scary, and I was worrying about it because I knew nothing about autism. Like, I thought I knew about it, but I knew nothing about autism, and I was like, oh, this is this weird, strange thing, and I don't like it, I don't know about it. And then I started to do some more research into it, and started finding more and more people that were like the same as me, and finding, like, I read this help sheet thing and it's listed a load of traits, and I was like, oh, that's me.
Excellent.
Okay. And then I researched it for a while and then thought, actually, I do want to pursue a diagnosis. So I went to the doctors, and yeah, I've been on the waiting list ever since.
Oh no. How long have you been waiting so far?
It was 9 months yesterday since I've been on the waiting list. And
oh wow.
There was 2 months before that. So I went to the doctors in July. So it's like almost a year since I went to the doctors.
Okay. Oh, I feel your pain. Yeah. It is. I know what you mean. And like, because obviously we're both kind of older, like we're not in a like rush as such to get a diagnosis, but waiting is still like,
it's so hard.
Yeah, and it's so painful.
I think the worst thing for me is like the imposter syndrome that comes with it,
mm-hmm.
which is just like constantly like doubting whether I am autistic or whether I'm not autistic, or because I don't have a label to say, like an official label. I'm someone who has to be told that, yes, you have this. This is you, to kind of believe it. And yeah. I mean, I'm kind of going against that with my self-diagnosis, but it's hard to kind of like say I don't give myself the label autistic if I am talking to people.
Yeah.
That I know, quite a few people don't know that I'm self-diagnosed autistic, which is interesting.
Okay. And are you like university sort of aware of anything at all, or are you keeping that?
Some of them do, some of them don't. I don't know if they've shared it or if they haven't.
Okay.
It's yes. Like I get the feeling that they might know, like all my tutors might know, but then at the same time they've not explicitly said. So I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
I feel like that at work. I'm like, I haven't really told anyone, but if people don't, you know, can't kind of guess it by now in, you know, my mannerisms and behaviours and stuff like that, then but what you were saying about being kind of self-diagnosed, I think self-diagnosis is like hugely valid, but yeah. I totally get that you just want someone, you know, an assessor to say it to your face to make it, you know, kind of concrete and like you can use it as a label. Not that you can't already, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. I feel also it would help me like when talking to other people, because I feel like for me, I have no problem with people being self-diagnosed, and if it's another person, I'm like, yes, good for you, woo, you're autistic, yay. But then for myself, I'm like, oh no. I think it would help, because then other people go, oh yes, you have this label, you have been diagnosed officially, okay, I believe you. Whereas I think without it, they might not, and it's,
difficult. I get what you mean.
To judge that, I think.
Mm-hmm. And just that's like the one good thing I got from having my assessment, is that it's just like this one label that you can say that sums up everything.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was very much like, oh, I have sensory issues, and people be like, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
So I get what you mean. Like it sounds weird, but it's nice to have a label to say things briefly.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so you're nine months into waiting. That is boring. At least, like, I guess the good thing is that you got on that waiting list before the whole kind of pandemic thing.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that there's probably going to be a bit of a like backlog sort of thing.
Yeah,
but I hope not.
Yeah, I hope not, but I don't think they're doing any assessments at the moment, so
okay.
I think it's going to be, well, I don't know, they might start them again now that lockdown's kind of eased a little bit.
Yeah, it's something you can't really do, like, over video.
No.
You have to, you kind of got to be there, haven't you, sort of thing, for them to understand you and have a proper chat, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, I hope you do get seen soon. I think my waiting time was, like, 14 months altogether.
Yeah.
So I hope yours isn't as long as that, but I appreciate, you know, it's the NHS, and you know, it is just the National Health Service, so we're lucky to have it.
Yeah, good that it's free.
Exactly. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about your diagnosis. Do you want to chat about like your hobbies and your special interests at all?
Yeah.
Obviously, art is something you're interested in, I'm assuming. So,
yeah, I think I kind of go, oh, I'm not in art there.
Go for it.
Art isn't like, I kind of think art isn't one of my special interests, but then I'm kind of like, but art is literally all that you do. So, kind of is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say probably my hobby, it's difficult to kind of say what's a hobby and what's a special interest, because I'm very passionate about both hobbies and special interests. Mm-hmm. And it's where do they kind of merge or separate. But I'd say probably like crafting, like crochet. I love crocheting. It's so relaxing, and I can make so many things.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, I love crafting. What else do I like? Animal Crossing. It's become a very big thing in lockdown.
I feel like it has for a lot of people, but like especially like the autism community, everyone's just like on it, which is great.
Perfect little world where nothing is wrong and you can be exactly who you want to be.
Yes.
And all your friends are animals. I mean,
what's not to love?
Yeah, so Animal Crossing, and dancing. I love to dance.
Okay.
Before lockdown, I did 3 dance classes a week / 4.
Oh, wow.
It's, yeah. So I was there like all the time, and now I'm not there at all, and it's very sad.
Oh, that must be hard.
Yeah, so dance is a big one, which especially tap. I love tap. Tap dancing is my main,
oh, cool,
main thing.
Nice.
And it's one of my stims, weirdly, as well. It's like,
I was just gonna say, like in terms of like kind of noise and like feedback from kind of tapping and stuff, that must be quite,
I love it. Good. It's great.
Oh, amazing.
Like a sensory, like a physical feedback from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a if you do a flap, you can feel it in your feet when they hit the ground at like different times, and then you can hear it at different times, and it's so satisfying.
Just the way you're describing it sounds good.
It's really good. I love tap. And like, I, if there's a hard floor and I'm wearing hard shoes, I'm tapping. Like,
excellent. Just you've got to take the opportunity whenever you can.
Exactly. It annoys everyone, but you know.
But it's dance. It's, you know, expressive. Why not?
Yeah, so tap, ballet, lyrical and contemporary. They are my 4. Answers.
Wow, that's a real mix as well. Yeah. That's really interesting.
And then I started combining my dance with my art practice at uni, which has been very fun.
Okay.
So that's opened up a whole new world of different things to try,
mm-hmm.
which has then led on to animation and entirely digital practice. But that is another story.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that sounds really interesting. You can talk about that if you want.
Yeah. So, yes, I started tracking movement in my dance, and started investigating Benesch movement notation, which is a form of dance notation,
mm-hmm.
And exploring the way that the written language of dance is different to the visual language of dance and how they combine. And then I started tracking my movements and applying the movement notation over the top and applying trails to it in After Effects, and it was all very fun.
Oh, wow.
It was really interesting to explore, and I think that's the way I'm going to go, like,
mm-hmm.
in the future. It's definitely going to be digital and probably animation / motion tracking,
okay,
kind of area.
Okay, that's good though. You know, even, you know, you're still in your first year and you know that that's something you're kind of passionate about and you want to kind of explore further. That's really good.
Yeah, I didn't start doing digital work until like the summer, really, when I got my mm-hmm. iPad, and then I was like, oh, there's a whole world out here.
I was the same. Like, I just used to kind of like draw on paper, and then when I got my iPad, it is like a whole new, like,
it is
medium, isn't it? You're like, oh, there's so much I can do.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I made a mistake. Oh well.
Yeah.
Undo button.
I find myself like double tapping on paper now because I'm so undoing on an iPad. It's really bad because it's so quick.
I know, it's great, and there's no horrible mess from rubbing out. And
yes,
you don't have to. Yeah. You don't get, like, if you're using watercolor on paper, and I love watercolor, but you don't get the horrible like bubbly mess of the paper coming off with the paint.
Yes,
it's just smooth and nice and flat and entirely portable.
Yes, and totally like non-messy. Yeah. Because that's kind of like something I don't like about acrylics. Mm-hmm. Is they just you know, getting on your hands and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so neat and tidy and just perfect.
So you have this whole kind of Instagram thing going on. Is that something you started when you kind of got your iPad in terms of like digital art, or was that something you started kind of a bit before?
That's a hard one. In terms of my Auntie Evie page, I started that at the beginning of lockdown, so it's only been like 3 months.
Really?
Yeah.
It feels like so much longer. I feel like you've always been on Instagram.
Yeah, well, I have other accounts. So I've got an art account, which I put my art on predominantly, but I'm not on there very much. But yeah, Auntie Evie has only been like 3 months.
Wow.
But it's been good to be able to combine my Instagram page with my digital art and find like my own style within that. Like my own like illustration style, which is nice, which is something I've wanted for ages, and I think I finally found it, so it's good.
Oh, amazing.
It takes a lot of work to find your style, doesn't it?
Yes, and I still like it. For me, I'm still like, oh, I don't like, I'm like really like self-critical and a bit of a perfectionist. I'm like, oh, I don't like it, but then when I post it, like, other people like it. Yeah. And I'm like, oh.
I know, it's like, I think my style has been like, okay, so it's not perfectly straight line and it's not perfectly straight circle, but that's okay. You can
exactly
go with that, and it looks good and people like it, so yay.
That's the thing, you just got to get your art out there. Sometimes you just look at it so much and you're so like, kind of, you know, if it takes you a few hours or something like that, you're so close to it that actually sometimes if you just put it out there, it's yeah, it's good to just
much more positive reaction than you yeah think it will.
Yeah, definitely. So you only started your Instagram 3 months ago and you're like almost at 700 followers.
I know.
That's mad. That's mad.
It's crazy how like big it's grown and how fast it's grown, because I literally only started it as a way to talk to other people about what I've been feeling, like about how I've been, like about my autism traits and about other people's, and to try and connect with people and like see that I'm not alone. And
yeah,
I never thought it would get to like nearly 700 followers.
That's amazing.
Crazy. So I'm like, what? But yeah, it's been a really good lockdown project as well.
Yeah, I can see that would be a good thing to kind of focus on.
Yeah, so good. Something, and yeah, it's been perfect to like a little kind of bubble, job bubble.
Yeah. Also, I find like the whole like autism community, like online, is great, but like especially on Instagram, there's so many like,
yeah,
everyone's so lovely, and I've met so many nice people, including yourself. Like, like, it's so, like, I don't know, welcoming.
It is. It's the most welcoming community I've ever been part of. Like, there's no judgment. There's like, everyone's just like, oh yay, hi, it's another person.
Yeah.
And I think it's perfect for us because like we struggle with social situations, but the social part has been taken away, because
exactly,
you don't have to talk to someone, you can just message them, and it doesn't matter if your grammar's not good or if you can't spell, or you know, you can just you and just message it, like, yeah, send it over message, and it doesn't matter that we might be a bit blunt or we might see things in black and white, we'll get it, and it's great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like, there's so much less kind of expectation in a way. Like, there's people I message who like don't message back for a few days, and like, that's totally cool, because you know, everyone's kind of, you know, at different stages, yeah, and you know, just dealing with their own lives and stuff. And whereas like, you know, friends and stuff expect you to reply quite soon, and it's so I definitely feel like it's a community that like understands that, you know, there's lots going on.
Yeah, and I've found like so many lovely friends on there as well. Like, I never thought I'd find friends online, and here I am with like loads of friends. I'm like, whoa. This is crazy.
I know what you mean. It's weird, isn't it? You kind of like someone I chat to on Instagram was like, oh, do you want to be pen pals? And now it's like physical post, and I'm like, oh, this started online and now we're going back to like old school post. I was like, this is great.
Yeah. I love it when you get post, though. Post is so good.
It is exciting to just get, you know, something, you know, other than a like a bill or something. Genuinely exciting post.
I like exciting post, not boring.
So what was I gonna say? So when did you start up your kind of like the whole like Redbubble kind of thing and the stickers? Was that kind of as a result of all the kind of digital art that you'd kind of stacked up and done?
No, it was very much like, oh, I want to do some doodles about autism. Mm-hmm. And oh, I can set up a Redbubble shop and turn them into stickers because people like stickers. Where I just, yeah, combine the two, and then it's a really nice way to like share things, and then if I get an idea, then I'm like, oh, let's just doodle that. Yeah, I don't, it wasn't really, it was just kind of on a whim really, but it's worked quite well.
Yeah, I've seen people like, I've also bought your stickers as well. I think I have, which one do I have? It's the like just keep stimming one. Yeah, I think I have, and the like doodling is my form of meditation. I like those two, but I've like, I had a look on your account and you've got like 24 or something.
I know.
Like,
oh,
you've got loads. You've got a whole like set. It's great though. Yeah, as a like little like side project. I think that's really nice.
It is, and it's like a little source of income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
nice.
I mean, every little helps, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. And it's a really nice, like, I don't know, I've liked putting, like, question polls on my story and seeing what people answer, and then kind of making stickers based around them. So the, like, the meditation-based ones, they're all actually based on people's answers. That,
oh, okay.
Yeah, people that answered the question. Hey, was that? There are lots of really cool ideas here. So
that's the good thing about Instagram though, is that you can kind of like reach out and say, I'm thinking about doing this, or yeah, you know, what are you guys kind of missing, or what would you like to see next, which is what I kind of do a lot, because sometimes you kind of have like a creative block. Yeah, and I'm just like, oh,
definitely.
So
I'm kind of like that at the moment. I'm like, right, okay, what can I do? Yes, it's really good to be able to just ask people, like, so what do you want to see more of? What do you like? What don't you like? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really...
No, really agree. And, like, even, like, we did a little drawing collab together, which was fun.
Yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
It's good to, like, collab with, like, people online and just see, like, it was interesting to see your style and then, like, my style next to yours.
Yeah,
and just... have I got it? I've got a picture of it up here. So we did it on like sensory seeking and sensory defensive. If anyone who's listening to this hasn't seen it, you can go and see it on both of our Instagrams. but we each did like a side each, didn't we? Yeah. Which was cute.
I was like, because you were obviously sensory defensive, and I wanted to explore the less talked about side of being a sensory person, which is sensory seeking, because I think a lot of autistics are sensory defensive, and me included to a certain extent. But I think that sensory seeking is less talked about. So I was like, yeah, let's split it and each make doodles about each side. That would be interesting. And yeah, it worked really well. I was very pleased with that.
Me too. And I think, yeah, you're definitely right. Like, the whole sensory seeking thing is a bit kind of less talked about. But I'm definitely more sensory defensive, but like, probably like you, you kind of flip between the two almost. Yeah. And you'll seek some things, but actually you'll avoid other things.
Definitely. And it also depends on the situation of things, I think. It's like, something that I find, like, I flip between is fireworks. So if I, like, know they're going to happen, so if I'm at a firework event and I can see that they are going to happen, then I'm fine with them and they don't bother me. But if I don't know they're happening and they just go off, then I really, really don't like fireworks.
It's that, like, element of surprise and, like, unexpectedness, isn't it? No, I totally get what you mean.
Such a loud noise as well. And it's like, whoa, what's happening?
I get what you mean. It kind of, like, rattles you a bit, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Kind of, like, catches you and you're like, what?
Yeah.
But I get what you mean. If you go to an event and you know you've purposely gone there and you know there's going to be something like that there, then you feel a bit more kind of calm about it.
Yeah, and I think you can, like, prepare for things as well. So if, I don't know, yeah, if you know it's going to be, like, a sensory stressful situation, then you can take the appropriate things to help you with it, like ear defenders or, like, stim toys to calm. Or, like, I've started wearing blue light blocking glasses when I'm on my screens, and they help so much because I get, like, such a headache from looking at them. And yeah, I very much recommend blue light blocking glasses if you don't wear blue light.
I need to have a look. I wear glasses normally, so actually that would be quite good because I sit in front of a screen a lot.
I find they really help because the brightness of the screens just give me such a bad headache.
I think also, like, a lot of, like, people that I know online have, like, tinted glasses anyway and find that quite helpful. And that's something I always want to have a look at as well because that looks quite good.
Yeah, definitely. I think that with, like, that element of, well, of being neurodiverse, isn't it? Being, like, dyslexic or dyspraxic alongside being autistic, like, they are often comorbid, and then you need to find your perfect little bubble within them.
Yes, definitely. So before I kind of set up all this podcast stuff, I was looking at your Instagram, as I generally do, and it's sort of a mix of, like, your own designs and also just, like, kind of posts where, like, you talk about kind of feeling out of place or, like, social exhaustion. And I love how you just kind of share, like, the kind of everyday, which I think Instagram, you know, sometimes people are just sharing them their best selves and, you know, their most, you know, perfect kind of pictures and stuff like that, whereas actually you're discussing daily life, which is really, like, refreshing.
I think that's the thing. It's like, I'm here to talk about my autistic experience, and that is definitely not just all the good things, because to be honest, a lot of the good things don't have much to do with being autistic, and a lot of the time I'm masking when I'm doing them, and I really enjoy it at the time, but then, you know, I suffer later. And I think I need to talk about, or people need to talk about, the everyday and what it feels like to be autistic all the time, because general society just doesn't know what it's like. They just see the autistic stereotype of a white guy, like Rain Man or Sheldon Cooper. And it doesn't take in the whole, like, the whole massive range of difficulties that we experience, but also the really good parts, like the special interests and finding a really great online community and stuff like that.
No, I totally agree. You put that really well, actually. Like, it is, you know, it's showing the everyday, but also there are, like, huge positives to, you know, being autistic. And I think in terms for both of us, like, it might help us with our, like, creativity, and, you know, it might give us that, like, slight edge over someone else, like an artist or a designer, someone like that, because we do experience the world differently.
I think we've also got, like, the ability to, like, hyper focus. I mean, I don't always have that ability. That very much comes and goes. But,
same.
You know, if you are really into something, you can just sit there and do it for hours, and it's great. And people are like, wow, how did you do that? I'm like, well, I just sat and did it. Well, I can't really say much more. And it's like, oh, how can you draw so well? Well, I sat and drew for hours.
People don't realise that you just kind of sat and just it got sucked into whatever you were doing.
Like, oh, my whole life revolves around drawing. Okay.
I think I used to get that with, like, my friends, like, studying and stuff, you know, like, if I could make my, like, revision stuff more visual and stuff like that, I'd be happy just sat there doing it. Whereas I think a lot of other people find revision quite a chore, which it can be, but
yeah, definitely. I think revision is a very mixed thing for me. But I'm glad I don't have to do it anymore. That is very good. That's the best thing about doing fine art. There are no written exams.
Yes, that's why I chose my uni course as well. I was like, right, just checking, there's no written exams. It's just, you know, like, coursework and, you know, a few essays.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah. I was like, great.
That's
something I can do.
Yeah, I hated exams. Exams were not for me.
They're so on the spot, aren't they? And
they are.
It's up to how you're feeling that day. And
I think my A levels proved that exams were really not my thing at all. No, so I think doing something with no exams is very good, but it's got the essay writing part, and I'm slightly odd, and I love to write essays.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's great.
I love writing essays. Like, the more like, academic I can sound, the better. And I get really wordy. I write, I'm like the queen of waffle.
Nice.
I love essays. I am odd, but, you know.
No, not at all. I think that's great that you love essays, and it's something you can get really, like, stuck into. Because a lot of people, and, like, especially people on my course, would do it very last minute, and I'm not that person.
No.
I can't do things the night before.
I mean, I end up going, like, to the limit, but I've been working on it for ages before. Just getting it perfect. It's got to take that whole time.
Yeah, exactly. I couldn't just write an essay in an evening. It would, from the start, I'd like to kind of plan it out a bit, I hope.
Yeah, my plans turn into, like, essays, so.
That's Oh, it sounds like you'll be fine when it comes to, kind of, like, do you have a dissertation for fine art in, like, third year?
Yes, is that... we do. Okay. I have no idea how that's going to work. I'm kind of like, how can you write a dissertation about art?
Yeah. I think you have to choose. I think you'll find a kind of topic that you really want to hone in on, and then find that you can kind of write lots about it. But I know what you mean. Like, thinking about it now, you've still got, like, two more years to go for that. So
it's a long way off.
Okay. So, how kind of are you coping with daily life? Like, how, maybe if we talk about before lockdown and then during. So, like, how were you managing at uni?
So uni was very mixed for me. Some days were really good, other days were definitely not very good. I've got a really nice rucksack which has a load of pockets in it, which means that I can carry all the things that I would possibly need in the entire day. So I've had like two tangles on me most of the time. Plus, this is a good tip. If your tangle breaks, keep the little pieces, because they never break. Like, you never get just one piece. You always get two pieces stuck together. And put them in your pockets, and they make the best tiny, tiny little fidgets. I just keep all the broken pieces and just keep them with me. Like, I've got them randomly in coat pockets, but they work very well. So
that's a good idea. Good way to keep, like, recycling them.
Yeah, exactly. It's not throwing them away. And they're so small, like, they just fit in your hand and just one bit flicks. And it's, I don't know, it's very simple, but it works for me. So I normally had, like, my tangle. I have noise cancelling headphones, which I wear all the time. So I always had them on me. I also always had a pair of earbuds as well, like the in-ear headphones. Just in case it started raining on my way home, because my hoods are over my headphones and I have to have music or an audiobook or something playing. I can't deal with being in town and not having that. It's too much.
Okay.
And also it's good for being at uni, because you've got that distraction. Like, my post tonight was about distraction. It has to be the right kind of distraction. So that's a tiny little tangent. But
no, it's all good.
So I always got my headphones. I always have a pot of polos on me, because for me, polos really help with the anxiety that I get at uni, or in general being social, because they're peppermint, and peppermint helps to combat nausea, so that works for me.
Oh, that's good.
And then, you know, books and stuff. But I always had like my tangle, my other fidget toys, my polos, my headphones, and water. Always have to have water with me to like keep me calm. Doesn't really matter where I'm going, I will almost always have them on me.
Okay.
But for uni it worked really well, because I could just stick them in the pocket of my bag and they all fitted really nicely and they were all there.
Excellent. I love that it's kind of like almost like a kind of kit for like whatever kind of happens in the day that you can just kind of grab.
Yeah.
That's such a good idea. And how do you find things like kind of lectures and stuff like that? Do you find that quite kind of like difficult going into like kind of lecture theatres and things like that, or do you quite enjoy them?
So my course is really, really tiny. There's like 7 of us in my year.
Amazing.
We are really small, so we don't go in a lecture theatre. We literally just go in a classroom
and have that's great.
The lecture at the front, and it's just like any other classroom situation. But I love that I've got my iPad with me, and I now have some software that means that I can record the lecture rather than having to make notes, because I found that there was too much, not pressure, but I couldn't concentrate on what the lecturer was trying to say as well as making the notes, and it didn't work. So I've now got a dictaphone, that's the word, and a software recorder on my iPad as well, and on my Mac at home. So like when we had the digital lectures in lockdown, I could just record it straight off my Mac, and that was really useful.
That's so good.
Yeah, so then I can listen to it later and make notes, or I can make notes in the software as well, and highlight bits, and it's so
that was so handy.
But yeah, I think because we are so small, it's not so bad. And I've got like my friends and I just sit at the back and hide.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's like the kind of go-to thing, isn't it? Just like sit at the back, it's all good. Easily.
Yeah.
It's interesting you saying about them using a dictaphone, because I use one at uni as well, because I used to find that the lecturers, like, they either talk too fast or they'd go through their slides too fast.
Yep.
And I'd still be writing from the previous like two slides.
Yeah.
So I get what you mean, especially like when it comes to essays, like listening back to your lectures are so handy.
It is.
Like,
so
because you can't remember that all when you get home.
No.
Unless you record it.
No, it's like if my family ask, oh, so what was the lecture? I'm like, it was really interesting. And I have no idea what happened in it.
No, I know what you mean. It just kind of goes so quickly, doesn't it?
It does.
Just, you can't retain the information and, you know, exist in the space and feel calm. And
yeah.
Oh, it's a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
So how are you kind of finding, like, life now that I'm assuming that you kind of couldn't go into uni and you're having to do stuff online?
Yeah, so I have already finished my uni work. So my first year is over. Yay!
Congrats.
Yeah, it was difficult working from home, not because of the actual environment, because I love working in my bedroom, but I think being in here all the time to work, I had no separation. I think the separation of being able to go to uni, although I hated going sometimes, was actually really helpful, because it got away from my room and gave me a little bit of kind of space. And then when I came back, I was more focused on what I had to do. So it kind of took away the focus, and that made it really difficult. Plus, I kind of lost all my motivation. And then had technical issues and, yeah.
Oh, no.
Because everything was digital and my Mac kept crashing.
Excellent. That's not what you want.
No.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like you've kind of gotten used to it, but I totally get that it was like a struggle to kind of, like, set it all up and, like... I know what you mean about, like, almost kind of working and, like, sleeping in your room and you're not actually getting out much.
No, yeah.
Whereas before, like, you'd be going to uni, I'd also be going to work, and we'd be forced to interact with people, which is kind of good for us, I guess, but I don't miss it particularly, but I know it is good for us to kind of see people. Yeah. I get what you mean.
Yeah. I think a really good thing for me is that I've now started back at work, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
I work in a shop, which is a bizarre place for an autistic person to work, I feel. But it actually is really nice for me. And then I think actually the social distancing measures makes it easier. We're only allowed people in the shop at one time, so it's never overwhelming. I mean, we're pretty quiet anyway. We never normally have that many people in, but it's even quieter, and there's, you know, 2 meter rule, and yeah, it's much, much nicer.
That's good. I get what you mean. Like, obviously, you know, it's bad, it's a pandemic and stuff like that, but for us, like, the whole kind of social distancing actually works in our favour sometimes.
Yeah.
Which sounds bad, but we don't mean it like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's good that you've been able to kind of go back to work and get like a bit of routine back. Are you quite like a routine person?
I am. I don't realise I have a routine, but when it was all messed up with lockdown, it all kind of went wrong, and I was like, I really don't like this, and I really struggled and got really anxious and really depressed, and yeah, the lack of routine was a really big issue, which I wasn't expecting it to be, because I don't have like a plan of my day. I don't say, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen at this time. But
yeah,
I think subconsciously I do have a plan, And if it doesn't turn out like that, so like I got up at like when my alarm went off, or I stayed in bed for half an hour and then got up, I had to feed my bunnies, I had to have breakfast, walk to the bus stop, get the bus, go to uni, come back from walk home. You know, I had an outline to my day, and then that was completely scrapped, and that was really difficult. I am quite a routine person. I've made myself a little COVID-19 planner.
Excellent. That's what I like to hear.
it's not like a strict planner, it's just these are things you can do in the day, and because like things aren't always going to happen at a specific time, so like our lunch moves around a lot depending on other people's work, or if I'm at work then I don't get lunch, and so it's got a degree of flexibility which works really well, because it doesn't create anxiety for me by thinking, oh, I've not stuck to that time, I've got to catch up with that, and then I lose all my motivation, it just spirals. So having the flexibility in a, but also having a routine works really well, if that makes sense.
No, it does, definitely. I'm the same, like I won't kind of, I like my routine, but I'm not kind of stuck to times and stuff like that. But I just like to have a rough kind of, you know, set of things that I follow throughout the day. So I definitely appreciate that. So I'm trying to think if there was anything else that I wanted to say. Was there anything else that you wanted to say?
I don't know, really. I don't think so.
Putting you on the spot there. So I wanted to say your Instagram handle and like spell it out just in case people didn't hear it. So it's at AutieEvie, which is AUTIE, and then it's like a, is it like a double underscore?
Yes, two underscores.
Two underscores, double E, V, and then double E again.
Yeah.
But you can also go onto my profile and find her as well, because I'll be posting about this podcast as well. And then your Redbubble, how do people find that?
I think I'm AutieEvie on there as well, but I could be something else. Let me just check.
I think it's linked in your Instagram, isn't it, anyway?
It is in my Instagram bio.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm emmysart03.
Ah, okay. I'll put all the links in the description. That's what people say on podcasts, so I'm just going to say that. You'll find it down below. So I think that kind of like wraps it up, I guess.
Yeah.
We've almost been, how long have we been talking for? Been talking for almost 50 minutes. It goes really fast.
It went really fast, which is really good, because I'm a bit nervous before it. I was like,
No, you've spoke really well, and it's really interesting to hear about like your studies and like your work as well as your special interests and like how you came to Instagram. I still can't believe you've only been on Instagram 3 months.
I know.
You've definitely like made an impact, and like, you know, I can see that you're like interacting with so many people and like collaborating on so many things. So it's honestly so great to see. No worries. Okie dokie. So I think we're going to wrap this up. Yeah, thank you, Emily, for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No worries. And hopefully I'll be back again for another episode. So thanks.